This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Sky Blues Extra podcast in association with Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. Dean, back in the hot seat this evening alongside Dave. Dave, how are we doing?
Yeah, good. Very good. Lovely win yesterday. Good for the old confidence. So yeah, very happy.
Very indifferent week, I'm sensing, because Friday night was a disaster. Absolute disaster.
It was a bit of a disaster, mate. And the thing is that it's been ups and downs, isn't it? We're going to obviously talk about injuries, talk about that game. And then you've got what everyone will say we should have done, if that makes sense. But
the hindsight,
you still have to do it. Yeah, you still have to do it. Yeah. So we won't get any, we're getting zero for beating Maidstone, but we had to still get it done.
I think that game came at the perfect time, really, because of what happened on Friday. You know, everybody was sort of down in the doldrums and you're kind of looking at the next fixture in the league and West Brom. Well, they're playing well. They're going well. They're a fellow playoff contender. How do we bounce back mentally more than anything? Because that was the thing I was worried about. How are they going to mentally bounce back from that first 20 minutes? It was just such a disaster that you basically lost the game in 20 minutes. How do you bounce back from that? And to have that Maidstone game there, it's just going to breed a bit of confidence. You know, I know it's the opposition is Pody, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And we obviously took that opportunity and did a really professional performance yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. The class obviously showed, but we did what we should do as a team that's that many levels above. So it's... You know, you still have to move the ball quickly. You still have to be that half yard of pace or that half yard quicker. I think we did it really, really well. And we had to get an early goal because that is always going to really affect a team for, you know, at that level. I think it's like their big day. Then it starts to sort
Jesus,
of unravel.
Wasn't their big day. They were in town early. They were having breakfast with Ross at the, Sky Blue Cafe, on ITV. Yeah. I mean, he swindled another freebie somehow.
But yeah, he does. He loves the freebie. He does.
Yeah, you got an appearance on Talk TV Sunday night, on ITV Monday.
Well, I'm wondering if we're going to be able to afford him next season. But you know,
what? Sorry, he's being paid. Who do I need to speak to about that?
In sausages and breakfast, Steve.
Well, no, if you look at Sky Blue Talk, they think we're all our shills trying to make a little bit of money from this podcast, and we make absolutely zero money from this podcast, FYI. We do it for the love of it, for the love.
The love of the game. But no, it's good. It was good. There was a few media engagements this week for Sky Blues Extra. It's good that Ross and Matt were on that on like you say on the ITV, and he did talk TV, which I'm not massively familiar with, but you know, you take what you can get, don't you, at this level?
I think it's some sort of Tory nonsense.
Well, I was leading it that I wasn't going to say it, but
I'll say it.
I had a vague idea of what it was.
Between them and GB News, you know. Yeah. What's to say?
Did think that it was a station that maybe like someone like Dan Wootton would be on or whatever, but yeah.
Hey, don't use his... Oh, no, he's been cleared now, so you can say you won't be libelous at this stage. Right, let's move on, because otherwise we are going to get ourselves into trouble. Seemingly a lot's happened in like 4 days. Like, just that's what it feels like to me. So first of all, let's talk, before we head into the Preston game, let's talk about the Tats injury, because I think that's the biggest news of the week so far, regardless of the fixtures. Just bitterly disappointing for the fella. He was just sort of working his way back into it after, you know, being taken out of the team because of tiredness. He's just slowly working his way back into the swing of things, and that's him gone now for the rest of the campaign, which is a tough one, really, because he was, for me, arguably one of our players of the season.
Yeah, and he has that spark that can sometimes win you a game or, you know, put enough pressure on a team to make them make mistakes. You know, the way he used to chop back and forth onto his left and right foot, it's that's what, you know, really starts to, you know, defenders will step back, will back off of players like that, and that creates opportunities and openings. And he's starting to chip in with goals, wasn't he? He'd scored a few goals. And just another real blow as a creative outlet. You know, when you think of what we have lost this season with Sheaf being like the spine, really, from a defensive point of view, and also the organisation of that middle of the park, because the players around him are great, but they haven't got that sort of organizational understanding, I think, which, you know, it's great to see Kelly, because I think we needed that back. And Tat's the same, really. It's that extra piece of spark that sometimes you
he's
need to be able
factor,
to win your games.
He?
Yeah, he has. He's a quality player. And I think he was starting to find his feet in English football. He showed signs very early on, but he was actually starting to have the confidence to take shots on, to cross those first time crosses or cross deep or whatever. So, you know, he was really starting to ramp up, and it's just such a blow, because we need all of the players that, you know, that are in the squad, really, to get to where we want to get to. And it's just massively disappointing for Mark Robbins, but obviously for Tats as well, who was having a really standout season, and probably would have been, you know, well up there for sort of like newcomer of the year. I don't think there's an award for that, but you know, if there was, it'd be up for it.
There is now. Well, we'll go along to the awards evening and just do our own, just outside in the foyer area, newcomer of the year award. You can,
yeah. But it was, there was a lot said about the injury, a lot of speculation, wasn't there, of like what that was.
Yeah, it's so annoying that. Do we just, people just shut up until we get some official, like...
Yeah, I must admit, I mean, we wouldn't have a channel if it wasn't for social media, so we've got to be careful what we say.
No, but not like other people. Just, they know they're talking shit, right? They just want to try and be first to the punch, and it's just all nonsense and lies, basically.
It is, and I think back to, you know, there was a separate but a situation today around a betting market, which has completely changed because of social media. And actually, had that have been 25, 30 years ago, that wouldn't have been a case. And, you know, people would still have been able to have get place a bet on this certain situation, which...
Which you don't want to go into.
Frustrated. Yeah, like, it's true, you know. So it does swing things. You know, it totally swings elections. We've seen that. So, like, but it's...
Well, it's
it
very
is.
Political this evening.
It has got a bit, isn't it? Let's get it back to the football. But no, it does. So it is frustrating, because we all want the best for him. And then you're reading all this and it's just a bit, I suppose, frustrating to be thinking, oh, it's really, really serious, broken pelvis. I don't think it is that. I don't know what it is. I honestly actually was the other way. I was like, I don't think it's as bad as it is going to be. And I thought it would be back in 4 weeks. Well, actually, technically, it's what, 6 to 8 or 8 to 10?
What weeks till he's back?
Technically, 6 to 8. Did he say?
No, he said end of the season.
End of the season. I don't know how many weeks that is. End of May, isn't it? So what's that? Three. I don't know.
Right, you got March, April, May. So that's 12 weeks. Fucking hell, it's like Carol. Where's Carol Vorderman? Where you need her? God's sake, what's this turned into?
I don't know, but I thought anyway that it would be.
It's like 13 weeks to the end of the season, as we're talking now, roughly.
But anyway, I thought it was going to be less. I honestly thought it was going to be bruising or something like that. And I know that sounds really stupid, but some of these things look really bad at the start, and then with the speculation as well, I was a bit like, you know, take it with a pinch of salt, don't you? But no, it obviously seems to be pretty serious enough to keep him out to the end of the season, and that's a bitter blow.
I think that's it for us now. I think that signals the end of this potential playoff push.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't think we have anyone to cover that.
No, we're going to have to adapt. We are going to have to change the
But I just don't see how we can adapt, because we're already struggling with wingers, as it is. Tavares... Yeah. No good, I'm afraid. That showing last night was just piss poor.
Yeah.
Can't do it in that type of atmosphere. You're not going to be able to do it against the likes of West Brom, Ipswich, Leeds, potentially in a playoff, two legs, you know. So I look at the squad at that end of the pitch, and I just think we're really, really struggling, because we're already using Palmer and O'Hare to sort of cover the left-hand side when Wright has been missing. Godden can't do a job out there. Yeah, I just think we're lacking now. And
well,
yeah,
he's probably got to go back to that box, isn't he?
That is literally the only way. I think he might sort of revert to a two up front at some point as well.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that that's the only option. It's going to be a little bit more narrow, but we have got the players in there to do that. You know, you've got Sheaf coming back. He's not a million miles off. How many weeks is he?
I saw something about he's 2 weeks away from being back into full training, so
okay,
that's quicker than I was expecting.
I don't know why I heard Watford, but that's like next week, isn't it? That's the 9th.
I just think we're struggling. The only option I think is maybe playing Torp out there when Chief's back, but it's a long shot, isn't it? That's just trying to put triangles into square holes or whatever analogy you want to use. I just think he was one of those guys
naturally wide
us to the next level.
Yeah, naturally wide man. But I don't know. Look, I mean, I'm certainly not going to say it's over, because you look at, you know, Southampton get turned over against Millwall. And although you could say bounce of a new manager back in, Neil Harris, you know, back at the helm at Millwall. I don't know. You know, the results are shock results in this league.
And I'll back the team to the end of the world.
Of course,
I just feel now we're just going to come up a bit light. And that is absolutely fine, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt that anyway, if I'm honest. Maybe that's me protecting myself against the inevitable. But I felt that other teams are just in stronger veins of form, regardless of Tats or not, if that makes sense. Like, I just think they've been, they're in, you know, we have hit a bit of a patch. And I think yesterday was a great confidence booster. But I don't think you can shy away the performances that we've probably put in the weeks before that.
I think we were due a beatdown at some point. Just because Leicester
feels a long time ago, doesn't it? That sort of wow feels a little long time ago. Where, you know, we've done it dirty, which is great. A lot of good teams have to do that. There's got to be times when you roll up your sleeves and grind out 2-1 wins or 1-0 wins or whatever.
You take that 7 points, those three games before Preston, I reckon they were, you know, three of our ropiest performances of the season, and we got 7 points out of 9.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a surprise to me that we were going to get beat. I just didn't expect us to go down with a whimper, really, against Preston. I wanted to see a bit more courage, a bit more heart, a bit more desire, especially second half. Like, I know we were chasing our tails at that point, but we just didn't look like we were at it at all. Even like 5%, I would say. It was a shocker, a real yeah. shocker.
And obviously we were caught, you know, hot on our heels, weren't we? And that's always difficult to come back from. But it did feel like just shell-shocked, really. And then, again, it's very difficult to get yourself back up for it. You know, mentally probably conceding to defeat, you know, very, very early on then. There's a few chances that maybe would have changed the game had it gone, you know, could have gone. But it was a very, very tough night. And a very, very professional performance from Preston, you've got to say.
Oh, yeah,
They looked, you know, as much as we expected more from us, they really did, you know, put a professional performance in that we just couldn't live with.
And I think we are going to get those types of performances from Coventry because of how raw the talent is and how new the nucleus of the team is. And it's, you know, we talk about this sort of five-year cycle.
We've also been having a lot of, not just injuries. I know Preston are playing a lot of games, don't get me wrong, but some of those odd happen, you know, they all together, they're on the coach. I know it sounds odd, but they're all like, right, we're going up, we're going to take them out, we're going to do it. And that camaraderie together, you know, midweek game, or it was Friday night game or whatever, sorry. You know, there's a lot to be said for that sort of, you know, and they're going the right way. So I think we would have liked to have seen more, but we were due one.
And some really poor performances on the evening as well, wasn't there? De Silva, I mean, I'm not sure what he's doing with that second.
Well, this is the only thing is that now when you start to break it down, the individual performances were what caused that. And you could probably play that game 100 times and De Silva probably wouldn't try and dribble it out of defence. You know, he'd probably
Wilson
just
would play. Come out for the first cross, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it is like, you know, as cliche as it, we'd love a cliche on this podcast, but like it is fine margins, especially when you're, I don't know, was it inside 5 minutes? I can't remember. It was really
first,
early on.
First minute. Reece got the first goal and then Bear Keane made it 2 in 20. Talk about individual errors there. It was the second most individual errors by a single team this season.
Yeah, so, and that's where you get beat 3-0, isn't it?
Yeah, simple as that. And it's tough to sort of pick out any sort of positives from the evening.
But perhaps you don't have to, because we had the Stoke game. There was no positives from that last season. And then we'd seemingly just turned it around and started, you know, rolled our sleeves up and got on with it and put that, you know, part that and went again.
You hope it is the catalyst, right? That's the thing. Like the Stoke defeat last year was the catalyst for us to pull our socks up and move on.
Yeah, but you know, I think that and I think it's very easy to write them off. And look, don't get me wrong, I do think we might just miss out, but that's nothing to do with Preston. You know, that's to do with I just think over the next, you know, whatever how many weeks we just went through that, how many weeks we've got left, we probably just might not have enough quality. Now compounded by some further injuries and having to now fit people like Sheaf back into the team and get them up and running. And, you know, when you're calling on Liam Kelly, it's that, you know, from when you think about mid transfer business you've done and all of that, it starts to look thin, doesn't it? The team does look thin, you know, when you've got Tavares starting right side and stuff, that's starting to look very thin, you've got to say. So, which is unbelievable, really.
Thinner than the top of my head, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is thin with a capital T. Like it's true. So, but do I think they showed guts? Okay, albeit with some slightly different personnel, but we've still got some quality there. Did they show guts away to Leeds? Yes, absolutely. So is there some guts in that changing room? Yeah. Like, and when you think about the managerial staff in there that are going to be saying the right things in the right ears, I think you'll see a reaction from that. And everyone will know that Preston game was not good enough. And we do still possess a lot of quality. So, yeah, it's Friday is another big one, isn't it? They're all big, but Friday's another huge one.
Yeah, we will talk about West Brom a little bit later. It was also the trial of the away fans being moved as well. Did you go to the game?
I didn't. I tried everything to try and get there, but I couldn't even find someone to give me a lift. And someone did, actually. Grateful for them to messaging me in the Sky Blues Extra Instagram page. Very kind of them, but I'd already made my mind up that I was going to help my parents move that weekend.
That was a pretty good decision. Let's say that. I didn't see too much chat about this and how it sort of went down. For me, I'm surprised they did it on a Friday night game.
I think they're looking for opportunities to trial these things ahead of, yeah, maybe, I don't know if it was ahead of Maidstone, but they're looking to trial these things out ahead of, big fixtures coming up.
I don't like it though, personally. I want to see them sort of that Coliseum effect around the away fans, having City fans on either side of them. That's what I want to see more than just shoving them in the corner, personally.
Yeah.
I think we're going to lose a lot of the atmosphere.
It's quite good to have home fans behind the goal, isn't it?
Yeah. You can shuffle Singer's corner over a little bit more towards that goal. Because I just feel like we're going to lose the atmosphere that is built. And that's because of how close the away fans in that corner have been this year.
Yeah. No, I get you. Yeah, you do want that. You know, you do want that proximity to create an atmosphere, for sure.
Should we wrap up Preston? Anything else you want to say about that?
No, not really. Just I think it's one of those, you know, forget about it as much as we can.
There was a competition, Dave.
There was.
We've been running a competition. Talk us through it.
Yeah. We obviously sponsored Ben Wilson a couple of seasons during his time at Coventry. He's still here, but you know, we've sponsored him. And
what do you know?
We finally, kindly got a load of shirts from Ben that were signed, and decided to go with that one, which is quite nice. We had loads and loads of entries, which is great, and we want to do more of this sort of stuff because you know we do have a lot of loyal people on the Twitter page that follow us and interact with us. And
all you had to do with this one is listen to the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. Very simple.
Yeah, really, really simple. That competition ended. And I'm just going to, because we said we'd do it live on the pod, I'm just going to bring up, so I've put all the names.
It's live now, but it won't be live for the people who are listed.
It's live for me and you.
Yeah, I can see
it. It will be live for them, technically, because they... unless they're listening to it on repeat. I don't think anyone listens to us twice.
Unless someone's listening in the green room here, which would be quite scary.
Yeah. So, right. I've got to just...
He's got a generator, ladies and gentlemen. So he's put all your names in like an online generator, and he'll press go and it will stop randomly on a name and Dave will read it out. Are you ready to go? Because I want to put a drum roll in.
Go.
Okay, here we go. And the winner is... It's still spinning.
It's still spinning. What is it
doing? My God, it's worse than being at the roulette table.
Sorry. Fine.
Here we go.
It is.
Here we go.
Gabe Kirtlin. So, at Gabe Kirtlin.
Gabe Kirtlin.
Yes. Gabe. Yes, Gabe. G-A-B-E.
Congratulations, Kirtland. Gabe.
Yeah. So,
wow.
We'll be in touch over Twitter, and we'll get your address details, and we'll get that shirt out to you this week.
It's the white one, wasn't it, with the sort of the window frame sleeves?
Yeah. And watch really this nice space. That. We've got a couple of others. So we've got the green long sleeve one. So we will at some point have that as well as a competition.
Maybe sort of a end of the season one, maybe season review or something like that. Be quite nice. If you do listen to the podcast, if you can like and subscribe and leave a review as well. If you listen to us on the Apple Podcast app or the Spotify app, you can leave a review. You can also give us a star rating. Anything you put in there would be appreciated, good or bad. You know, it doesn't matter. We take everything on board. So, yeah, really appreciate if you could do that. Let's move on. Maidstone was last night's fixture in the FA Cup. The TV coverage would have you believe it was Maidstone versus Maidstone, since we only got commentary was said twice in the first 20 minutes on the ITV4 coverage, which I get.
You wouldn't have it any other way, would you?
Listen, I get it. It's a fantastic occasion. You know, big up to Maidstone, big up to their followers. It was, by all intents and purposes, a brilliant night, great atmosphere. And we spoke about the performance that was needed from Coventry, and we got it 5-0. Ellis Sims on the score sheet.
Took the ball home.
He was super excited in his post-match interview. And I'm pleased for him. He's, you know, people will say, oh, you know, he's found his level, it's non-league and all this nonsense. But, you know, that's hopefully going to breed some confidence into him, because it's much needed.
Yeah, and he took the goals well. I think, you know, if you were really to dissect it down, maybe the first one, the touch was a bit heavy and you might not get, you know, but I thought their keeper was brilliant, actually.
Oh, yeah, great.
He came for crosses like, you know, like you'd love to be seeing that, you know, week in, week out. He commanded his box, but he did come out a little bit late on that first one. And I think that maybe you wouldn't get that opportunity, and maybe the defending wouldn't be as static, but a great run, great instinctive finish. The one that really impressed me, sorry if I'm rattling on, but the one that really impressed me is the left footed, you know, that was an instinctive finish. But that's what, you know, I liked around them. They are strikers' instinctive finishes. And I'm not sure we've seen that from Sims as much. But I think we have started to, haven't we, recently? You know, the Plymouth goal was a good striker's goal. It's
that anticipation, isn't it? You know, trying to pick up that extra yard that might, you know, there might be an opportunity that will arise. And, you know, fair play for him, even from the Palmer shot, which was a fizzer.
Yeah, it was. That was a lovely shot.
He was on that quickly. I mean, to be fair, Tavares did the same thing. That anticipation is so important. And you could see that with our forward line and their forward line, that was a major difference. We were anticipating what was going to happen next. And that's obviously the, you know, the quality in the football brain showing there.
Yeah, and not fitting bathrooms 3 days a week. Like, you know, that, and being able to play football on a training pitch, you know, every single day is a lot helpful. But we were really sharp and got the job done. Really sharp.
I'm happy with how professional it was.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think from the first minute, you could see the intent was there, you know, to play football, play through the lines, get on the ball early, start trying to create things quickly. And, you know,
I think that game suits us, though, really. Like, we don't really know how to play any other way. Like, we wouldn't know how to play, you know, long ball in the air with this team, this current team, if that makes sense.
And being that front foot, right? Being on the front foot all the time.
Exactly. And when you knock it around like we do, you know, we play really nice football. And when you knock it around like that, and you're always going to be that half a yard quicker than you know, a team that at that level, that's going to create lots of chances. And that's what we got. And it's what it did. But like you say, great finishes and great instincts by Sims.
You mentioned Liam Kelly. He's like we sort of wheel him out this time of year, don't we?
Yeah.
I'm off the dialysis machine, Liam, and get back into the middle of the midfield. Again, people will mention that it's Maidstone, it's non-league, but a very, very competent, controlled performance from him. Considering he hasn't played for, you know, 9 on 5 months, 90 minutes as well. I just think he's just such a calm and composed footballer that sort of breeds out into the rest of the team.
Yeah, it does. And I think even Torp, actually, but Torp does look wise beyond his years, I think. I don't know how old he is, actually. But
I think he gave him the essence to move forward last night a bit more, Torp, you know, because he knew he had that sort of controlling behind him. So he could like get involved in the play a bit more.
Yeah, I don't know if we said this on the pod, but it feels like there's been this like changing of the guard in terms of like Sheaf felt that he had to sort of fill Hamer's boots, where he was trying to do everything, like play forward passes, killer passes and defence. And then Eccles has had to kind of feels like he's had to play that role. So now he's become like this defensive player, but he's got to try and play through the lines. And by having Kelly in there, that takes that out a little bit. They almost get their creative freedom back a little bit because they know, you know, don't worry, old trusty Kelly's there and he's going to mop up anything that perhaps I get wrong. Whereas when you're, you know, without that, I think that they
you've always got one eye on what's going to happen.
I think
behind
so.
Them. Yeah,
I think so, and that makes them less, you know, less instinctive and more thinking about what they're doing. And then they're not playing that one touch. They're not playing that pass or perhaps trying to go around someone or go through, you know, past someone. So, I think last night that showed. It definitely did free up Torp, I think, to be, and you know, we saw he's just, you know, he's just very, very good player.
Would you be against Kelly now sort of having a run in the team, at least while Sheaf is out, just to have a bit calming influence, considering what happened on Friday night, going into a run of fixtures that are going to be, you know, quite tricky on paper, really?
Yeah, I think, you know, I really want a sort of Leeds performance against West Brom. That's what I want. Something where we go there and we go, we're going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah, battling performance.
Because
yeah.
A point is as important as a win, really. Whereas a loss, it's going to, you know, 6-pointer, and we're gonna get that much further back. So if we can try and stop from conceding, then and Kelly does give you that sort of influence. It might not mean we're as you know, as sort of coveted going forward. You know, we not have as many options, but it might just mean we're a bit more difficult to get beat. And, you know, when you've got players like O'Hare in the team and Torp, you know, Torp could absolutely hammer one from 30 yards.
And Palmer as well. I think Palmer was very, very good last night. He really was. You can see someone like Vivash going to Casey Palmer before that game. Casey, this is way above your level. Take control of this football match.
Yeah.
Just dominate it.
Yeah.
You know, you can just be the game winner tonight. And to be fair, I know Sims got the finishes, but
he created everything.
He created all
from
the chances.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. Yeah, his shot, his vision, the way he got the ball out of his feet. I still think he's on contract.
The step over shield bonus.
There's got to be a bonus around stepovers, but I'm here for it.
It can't be that much, though. Maybe 200 quid a pop.
I think it's contagious because Tavares was doing it as well.
You know, if he does any more, he might buy his own TV channel, like a lot of people in this country. Yeah, there we go, more political chat. I mentioned Tavares earlier. I know he scored two goals, but I think that sort of clouded over what I thought was a pretty woeful performance from him.
I know
he's been out and all that sort of stuff, but I just didn't feel like he had any confidence to take on a man.
I'm not sure he's a natural right winger. I can't remember what he really did in the 23s when he was, like, you know, setting it alight. I thought he must have been playing like off the last man or something.
I think he did score a lot of goals in the 23s. I just struggle to see what it is about him.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think, well, what it is blistering pace, isn't it? Or was. That's what I think
we felt. That only gets you so far, Dave, right?
It does, but it does cause defensive headaches because they have to spin and turn and chase back to their own goal, which they never like doing. And chasing someone that's absolutely rapid is even, you know, you either got to go, right, I'm going to kick this fella early doors, or I'm in for a bit of a tough afternoon because I can't keep up.
He didn't do that once last night, though. There was ample
opportunities.
He had
the
ball
in
feet, and he could have just knocked it past Capuano, whatever his name was, left back, who was so slow. And I think he just knock it past him and burst round. You've got the pace, do it. But there's just a real lack of confidence to do it.
I think that's it, though.
Maybe also the ability to do it. Personally, I'm not sure on him.
Yeah, and agree, but like, so the two games were very different for what I mean Tavares playing. So Stoke, he got the ball to him very late. so he didn't get given a chance to take a man on, because we, by the time he got the ball out to him, they were fully set. Last night there were opportunities, I think, actually more for him to do that, and he didn't seem to have the confidence, like you say, to go around. There was one where he should have burnt him off the pace and got a cross in, and he somehow, it went for a corner, okay, but he shouldn't have probably even been able to keep up. I think it's a confidence thing. You're only going to get that from games. He's part of a squad rotation. We're not a Man City, so we can't go out and get, you know, two Tats and two Hadji Wrights.
I wonder where you go with that then.
Tats, yeah. But we can't get two Sakamotos then, sorry.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I do get so that.
So we're you know, on our bare bones, and it's too late in the season for him to go back to the 23s, and, you know, whilst we've got such a chocker calendar. So there is only one, really a few games that he can play in, which was Stoke, where you think they're struggling and we can go away and get a result, and Maidstone at home. Like, he's not going to play against West Brom.
But is it, when you say that's the perfect opportunity for him against Maidstone, he didn't do it. Like, no. He didn't show like he had the ability to do it personally. Like, I'm a little bit. That's the only point from last night I'm really, really annoyed about. Was him, and I know the two goals, they're sort of just clouding the sort of judgment I think people might have. I might actually be the only person who thinks this way. I don't know. No.
I think a lot of people would agree that he didn't have a great game. You got to be in the right place at the right time. But, you know, that,
yeah, the anticipation for the goals was great.
A laboured, you know, at times it's quite, you know. By then, it was quite a laboured defence. You know, they'd almost, you know, surrendered to what was happening, and they were very leggy. Like, you know, it was. You could tell that had kicked in around. Even actually, I thought when they came out for the second half, they looked like they were struggling physically with the pace of the game. But look, again, you've got to try and fit these players in. I don't think he would be Mark Robbins' first choice, and I don't think you'll see him against West Brom. But I'm not sure he's also an out-and-out winger. Like, that's not really his game. I don't think he's probably ever played that position. I think he probably played as like a, which technically is what he was doing yesterday, but as that sort of, well, that sort of Tats right-sided of a forward. But to do that, you've got to be getting balls in behind. And, you know, whether or not I'm right, I didn't watch much of it, but I'd imagine that under-23's team sat quite high and there was a lot of space in behind, and he was blistering pace because, you know, at that level, physically, still there is different, you know, the margins are a little bit wider, if that makes sense, and you can expose that. Whereas you've got to remember then, we haven't really seen him in a competitive game for such a long time, have we? So yeah, I would agree with you. I think his touch was off at times. I think he wasn't confident enough to take his man on when he should have. I don't know whether there's a future there under Mark Robbins and AD. I'm not sure, but I would definitely say that I don't think he's not going to be first choice, is he?
He's still got another year on his contract. So yeah, we shall see with Fabio. One thing I don't want to see in the future is this light show that seems to be happening. What is this about? And who's come up with this idea? I haven't seen anything on social. Is it a joke that I've missed somewhere? I don't know.
I don't know if other grounds are doing it, but yeah, it's...
Whatever grounds are doing it.
It's not clever.
Spurs do it. There's an app on the Spurs. The Spurs app has this light show, and you're supposed to put it out before, like 10 minutes before the game, put your phone out, face it towards the...
Oh, and it's choreographed.
Yeah, like a Coldplay concert.
Right.
If you've been to one of those.
No.
Oh, well, I've been to many. But yeah, I don't get it though. It just seems like we're just holding up a flashlight now, or just a white screen. It's a bit odd. It's peculiar. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a bit odd. I don't know. Maybe it's on TikTok. I'm not sure.
And also, there was an opportunity last night to use a couple of kids, I thought, from the academy. We had a couple on the bench, and
yeah,
we didn't do it. This is another thing with Robbins that kind of confused me a little bit at times, is that he sort of refuses to to give anybody a game when, you know, it was won last night, easily won, and he brought on Da Silva ahead of, you know, Lasala or Andrews. I was a little bit taken back by that, to be honest. I thought this is, you know, a great opportunity for them to get a little bit of match experience. I know it's against Maidstone, but there was an opportunity there. Saying that, bringing Jay Da Silva on when he had a terrible time against Preston, I think this was brought up on the commentary, might be a good decision in the long term because it might breed into his confidence a little bit more. Saying that, he also didn't have a particularly great time when he was on the pitch last night also. So it's, yeah, I didn't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I think with Robbins, I agree. I think it would have been nicer to have seen a few of those, you know, younger lads get on. Like you say, Andrews, Lasada.
Only with the game being won, I'm not expecting them to start the match at all. I wanted a pretty much a full strength side as much as we could last night to go out there, win the game, and then when the opportunity arises, then to bring on some of the youngsters. And you know, we didn't do it.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, maybe he's done that because he wants Bidwell to start and Da Silva to come on and give himself a chance that, you know, give me a headache for Friday, you know, and because, you know, help me make up my mind, basically. Maybe that's what it is, because he's, you know, he's not really fixed on that sort of left side from what I can gather really still. And maybe that's why he's done that. For example, obviously, he had to give, you know, Fabio a decent chunk. He had to give Godden some game time. He needs to have him up and running and on the boil as much as possible. And O'Hare, he had to get some minutes. So I suppose it doesn't leave that much opportunity. But maybe that is just about being around the match day squad and bringing him in to say, look, you're part of our plans in the future. And you know, they wouldn't have normally got that on a championship fixture, right? They wouldn't have been a part of the match day squad. And that, even that is a sort of coming of age sort of procedure, isn't it?
But there might be now if we lose any more players to injury, for God's sake. We could be back to sort of, you know, opening season and the championship vibes where we had three or four academy players on the bench. Look at that Burnley game last season. We had like five academy players on the bench that day. So
I'm quite looking forward to going back to three goalkeepers in the matchday squad.
Although Collins wasn't available last night, was he? He had the flu. Bowell was on the bench.
Yeah,
that would have been exciting if Wilson had something happened to Wilson, to see how young Ballard had coped. But yeah, let's have a man of the match. I think it's pretty simple. Probably the easiest one of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the plaudits are going to go to Sims, and rightly so. He's definitely, you can't get a hat-trick and not be man of the match. But a really, you know, really great performance from Casey Palmer, as you said. And, you know, hopefully they can both take that into Friday night's game.
And a shout-out to George Olakobi as well, the Maidstone gaffer, who, you know, he just seems like a beaming ray of light in the footballing world. There's a great video that the FA released today of in the changing room, and yeah, you'd run through a brick wall for someone like that. I
haven't seen that. I'll go back and have a look at that. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
He just seems such a great character, and that's what we need. I love characters. I know Warnock gets some, you know, pelters, but he's a great character in football.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it'd be boring otherwise.
Absolutely. We've said it earlier on, but it's great. I think they're in a pretty decent position in where they are at the moment.
They've got a good chance of the playoffs in their league. So yeah, and obviously the money.
Yeah.
So I was reading today, upwards of $600,000they've earned from this cup run, which is, you know, for us it's maybe small change, but for them it's an absolute fortune, which will keep Maidstone alive, I imagine, for the, you know, many, next many 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we all have, you know, it wasn't that too far long ago, was it, when we were when we had, you know, very low budgets in League Two and the likes, right? And okay, and even then, that would have been vastly different. But it's not too hard to imagine, is it, how much this could change their fortunes in the coming years.
Yeah, good luck to them.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, a quick look ahead to another Friday night game under the lights. This time, a trip to the Hawthorns. West Bromwich Albion, fellow playoff contenders. I'll get my words out in a second. I'm apprehensive, Dave. I know we spoke before we started to record, and I think we're both sort of on the edge of what to expect on Friday night. Would you like to tell everybody how you're feeling?
Yeah, pretty nervous, I think, against... I mean, look, they're a quality team anyway, right? And our league form has been a little bit shaky. And hopefully, you know, Maidstone was a confidence booster. But when you look back through some of their results, I watched the game against Ipswich. I thought they were very special that day, to be honest. And Ipswich did peg them back and it was 2-2. But I thought... The way they approached that game to against a team that was going to be obviously possession based and keep the ball, the tactics that they displayed was good. Okay, they lost to Southampton. They drew.
I'm going to mention
Hull.
The Southampton game because I know they got a man sent off quite early, but even in that game, I thought they were quite competitive. You know, for large majority of the game, I know they lost 2-0 and you know Southampton.
So a midweek game.
It was a Friday night game.
Yeah, I remember watching that as well, actually. Yeah,
a week before our game against Preston. So yeah, they are a tough nut to crack. They've got various match winners. You only have to look at the likes of, you know, Swift, Thomas Asante, Dean Garner back in amongst it as well. It's going to be a very, very tough game on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, Swift, 7 goals this year, and he was frozen out, wasn't he, at the start of the season?
Yeah, he's. I think he was injured for a little bit as well, so he's sort of coming back into it, which nobody wants to see in this division. We know how good he is, a championship operator.
If only we they've got some solid championship players, older professionals, I guess. You know, likes of Wallace has been around the championship for long enough. Like you say, Swift, but they also got the youngsters as well, right? That can do some damage as well. It's going to be a very, very tricky fixture. I mean, away from home, any fixture in this league is, but this one does look particularly tough.
Yeah, totally agree. And obviously, you've mentioned the potential 6-pointer in inverted commas. The old cliche of 6-pointer, which is it's going to be tough to get back at this stage. A win for West Brom would take to 59 points, would be on 51. That seems, I know what we did last year and all that sort of stuff, but I think that sort of gap to overturn at this stage of the season with a team that have got such quality, I think that's going to be tough to overcome. And then you're only potentially looking at that sixth position, score. Which Hull are obviously in at the moment. They're playing well. Norwich are playing well. Preston have turned a corner. Yeah, it feels like sort of do or die time now at this stage.
It does, yeah. I mean, we're not, the FA Cup whole game's going to get moved now for the FA Cup to a midweek. You decide whether that's a good or bad thing. You know, maybe it
do
is
we
a good
decide
thing.
Now.
No, not but it's, you know, maybe moving that to a midweek is, but depending on then what happens on the weekend and then you're cramming them in, that could go, you know, that could really go towards the end of the season now, that when you look at the calendar, you know, I'm not really sure when they're going to be able to fit that one in. So
they've got, there's 13 games between the game at the moment between Hull and the Covent Hull and then away at Huddersfield. So they could put it in that gap there, which I think obviously that was sort of the gap the club were eyeing up for a bit of a break. Try and get some bodies back in.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll play
international break though, isn't it?
Is it international break?
Sorry?
Is it an international break?
What, March the 23rd?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it? Yeah, I wasn't sure. I thought it was just a break in the season.
Yeah, no, I think March the 23rd is an international break. So that doesn't open up the 25th and 26th. Unless, I don't know, I mean, I'd be surprised to see that. So
you're sort of looking between the Birmingham game and the Ipswich game, which...
Yeah,
you know,
I'd
that,
say so. 16th of April, yeah.
Which could be a very tough run then if you look at that. Away at Southampton, away at Birmingham, and then two massive games then potentially between Hull and Ipswich, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that does make that a bit difficult. Yeah, West Brom, tricky tie, I think.
You also never know what to expect from West Brom, though, do you?
No. Like
they are sort of the absolute yo-yo side of this division. One week, yeah, you know, look like they could win the league, and the next they look like they could easily get relegated. It's it's a weird one.
This week, the fixtures are fall a little bit kindly, don't they? I think you've got Hull and Preston.
All
you know,
playing
so,
Preston, yeah. They both can't win that.
No. And Norwich.
Home to Sunderland, who need to, you know, find some form again. Three losses in a row for them. So
exactly.
You know,
they've got to go there.
Even last week when we lost that Preston game, results kind of went our way.
They did. Absolutely.
We didn't lose too much ground.
This is the thing. So, you know, you're definitely not out of it. I just, when I look at some of the pedigree of these teams, and then you know, if you was to stick this in front of a robot, it would go, yeah, Norwich sixth.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because
the old supercomputer.
It would, because they'd just be going, yeah, they, you know, they know how to do it. They've been around it. Doesn't mean that that's going to happen. They could easily fall away. But, you know, other than that, you know, I think Hull have signed really well, haven't they, in January, and that's starting to come to fruition a little bit now.
Yeah, Carvalho's on form, scoring goals. So, it's going to be tricky. Should we get a quick prediction for you? I don't want to... Yeah.
It's tough, I know. I hate saying a loss.
Yeah.
I think...
We're trying to keep it positive, really, but...
Yeah, well, I think if we... I do think we can go there and get a draw.
It's about our approach, right? How we approach that game. Because if you, like you say, if we approach it the same sort of mentality as the Leeds game, then you think we can go there and, you know, get a positive result. It might not be a win, but a draw at this stage, don't lose any more ground. That is a positive result.
And then, you know, Rotherham on the Tuesday.
Yeah, but you've got to back it up though. Yeah, that's exactly what you have to do. And I think it honestly comes down to, you know, how we utilize the squad. I'm sick of seeing this back line changed. We need to get some, you know, stability there really with that back line, because Championship winning sides, and okay, we're not going to win the Championship, but let's say good performing Championship sides, they're built on very, very strong defences. You don't see many defences being changed, regardless of how many matches are being played. It's all built on that sort of stability from the back.
I think that looked pretty solid last night.
Yeah, okay, Thomas hasn't played well recently, but there was, you know, obviously with him and Kitching together, there's been some great signs this year. Bidwell's played well. He was seemingly dropped for no reason. And obviously Van Ivac has, you know, has performed pretty well this year as well. So I want to see that sort of stability and the constant swapping and changing of goalkeepers. I'm not too sure on what's going on there.
No, I find that quite odd.
Yeah, it felt like even with Robin's comments saying that he had two good goalkeepers, you know, one's performed way better than the other this year. So you go with the better performing one, surely. It's not rocket science. Sometimes I feel like we swap and change for swapping and change reason. It's just, there's no need for it.
But it's a tough one to bring Wilson back out now, isn't it?
Yeah. That's you know, he's made his bed in a way, hasn't he, Robbins? Now, so he's got to lay in it. And you look at what happened on Friday night and that first ball coming into the box from the corner and not coming for it and silly mistakes, not diving for ball. It's just like I'm not confident in either of them, but I'm a bit more confident in Brad Collins because of how well he's performed this year. But now
do you think if Collins wasn't ill, he would have come back in last night?
Yeah, it's a weird because I was listening to Oggy talk about this and he was like, well, Wilson was the cup goalkeeper and then he's brought Wilson in for the league. So did that make the Collins the cup keeper? And would he have been returned for last night's game with only just being dropped out of the side? It's just like, just load of decisions being made that like, you don't have to make those decisions at this stage of the year, I don't feel.
Well, you're right. You need consistency. That's a big part of why last year, you know, we did because we were consistent in the approach and the way that we played, and you know, we were very consistent in the back line, really.
Well, hopefully we find some consistency now as we head towards the end. What was your prediction?
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we'll concede, but hopefully with Sims now in form and sort of Wright coming back into the fold a little bit more, and O'Hare and Palmer playing well recently, hopefully that will give us the edge. Dave, good to chat with you once again on the podcast. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for everyone for listening. Big thank you to our sponsors at the Sky Blue Tavern also for their continued support. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, play up Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.